So for the most part, the album was put together via trusting the same folks I've been working with for the last 5 years now. So that's Kardak, Wes, and Quentin. So Kardak drums, and then We Are the Good Music. And I have greatly benefited from letting them take the wheel. So they sit with me. They catch a scent for what I'm passionate about, what I feel like the Lord's pressing on my heart, where we need to go musically. I have some ideas about that, but I don't have the best ideas about that. I think I trust their musical genius, so they have better ideas about how we should do things. So I can't really take credit for a lot of the how things came together. I really, really had a good team around me that made that happen. With that being said, the Fred Hammond samples really came in to balance the kind of interpolations that I was doing, because I was largely using CCM songs. There were a few gospel songs I wanted to get cleared, but those had their own kind of challenges. And so I think the team thought it'd be good to start to cover a wider range of great Christian music that we appreciate that's not hip hop, that we can help reimagine, be inspired by, sample, interpolate. And the guys went the gospel. So we went there with Jesus, King Jesus, with No Big Deal, with Vicky Winans there. And then we got Uncle Fred on the other two. I think it was coincidental that we did two Fred Hammond samples. It just kind of made sense. We kind of started going down the Fred Hammond rabbit trail, and it led us to a Dembo gospel trap song in Danza that started with just a drill record with Glory to Glory. So that's a great question. I think overall, it has been me trusting my team and their ability to bring what's missing. So if I don't feel like this is good for us, or I can't see how this is something that I would enjoy, then obviously I can veto. But I have to defer to the production team. Wes, for example, also appreciates the ways in which people are digesting music. People are going to playlists. They don't just. There's not just the emo crowd or just the hip hop crowd or just the folk crowd. You have the diversity among listenership is in terms of what each listener has as their musical diet is more diverse today than it has ever been in the history of the world, I would say. Regions are coming together. Styles, languages are coming together. So this creates an amazing opportunity for the artist and Wes, who leads most of the production stuff for me, knows that I like a range of things, and we will continue to do what we enjoy. If we like it, it doesn't matter if it's outside of what we would generally listen to or the kind of music that we've made before in the past. We want to do what we like and then also try to merge that with what people like. So Limo Blaze in the whole Afro gospel world is new to me, and but I love it. I don't know how to make it well, but I love it. And but I get to partner with those who are experts in that that field, in that genre, and we then get to merge it. I believe that fusions are always the best kind of art. When you're fusing five and six things into one piece, bringing something from the past back to the future, all of that creates specialty. And I think that the biggest thing is that my team knows that my team agrees with me that the audience is just ripe for fusions because they are listening to all different kinds of things. Yeah, some of that was marketing, and then some of it was timing. The way that I'm able to do, if the way that it feels like I'm doing a lot of stuff, I get people say that to me like, bro, when do you sleep? Like you put this out, then you put this out, then you did this, then you're over here. It feels that way. But I'm really just working a 9 to 5. I mean, not even that. I mean, I'm probably like more like 8 to 2, you know what I'm saying? Or 9 to 2, really. And I'm just working every day. But I work consistently, put things away, and then when we roll it out, it's a waterfall. So it's actually called waterfall marketing. So essentially what you do is you drop single after single after single after single. You create a lot of content around each of those singles so it feels like, man, there's a ton going on. And then before you know it, another song. My goodness, we just got a song. And then before you know it, another song. At the same time, these songs are being dropped and we're creating content around them. I'm also working on the full project. And then song after song happens, and then you take those singles, you put those on an EP, so now it feels like you have a project, but then there's an album coming. So you follow that EP with an album, and then you want to follow that album with a deluxe. That's just a strategy for marketing to spread wide. But it really just happens because, you know, folks didn't really notice, but I worked. I mean, I did some touring in 2022, but I wasn't dropping. I dropped two songs in 2022, but I was still working.
Right.
I was writing the book or finished up the book. I was working on music. And every year, it's the same thing. So I take time where it can feel like I'm in front of folks, but that's pretty that's low-hanging fruit in terms of just being seen. But, you know, at home, I'm working. I'm at the office stacking stuff up so that when it is time to roll out, it feels like a tidal wave and not like a drip. Absolutely intentional. Yep. I think Deshaun is an incredible worship artist. His story is very similar to mine. And when I heard the song, it impacted me. Deshaun is also my guitar player. I got to see him come to Jesus while we were working together. I've watched him grow in the Lord, become a pastor. So it was my honor to help give people opportunity to be introduced to his work. And who he is. And same thing with Brit Nicole. Brit Nicole has been she's a star, and she is a star objectively. One of my favorite artists, my wife and I, our first song when we got married, our first dance, I'm sorry, was to her song. Mm-hmm. And I went to her concert my first year of marriage. My wife and I, a few other friends, went to her concert, and I just always loved Brit Nicole. I always felt like her voice is just bigger than this world, and just other world giftedness. And I think she has a powerful story as well, where that she can relate to the things that we're talking about. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Daddy was an emotional roller coaster to create. Never wept as much. I would be recording, I'd be crying. I'd be playing it back, I'd be crying. I'd be writing the lyrics, I'd be crying. I cried when it was mixed. It really is a song that was birthed out of a wound. So every time I consider it, not every time, but at least when I first started making it, every time I would consider it, I would aggravate that wound. So it certainly was a bold kind of move for me, not just the singing, but the talk about something so personal and right. and in motion for that matter. By God's grace, I got to work on the song, and we are creating content around the song while I myself have been in extensive therapy. So I ain't just out here figuring it out, but a lot of what happened in that song comes from what I'm discovering in therapy. Kirk Franklin has put out a powerful documentary where he says something that I felt very seen by, because I said this. I spoke at a fatherhood nonprofit. A nonprofit was putting on this event for fatherlessness, and I was the keynote. And in my speech, I talked about how I had been living my life up until I was like 27, 28 years old, working as hard as I could to get the approval of an invisible voice. And I didn't know who that voice belonged to. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks that voice that I was looking for was that of my father, to say, I see you, I'm proud of you, keep going. I got you, I'm here for you. To not have that creates this hole in a man that doesn't get filled fairly easily. And so anyways, the song was written from that place. And then also from the means by which I have found healing. One, being a father helps to heal fatherlessness. Being a good father helps to cover for the wounds of a bad father. And then secondly, what helps with healing is vulnerability. So confessing it, getting it out, being honest about it, not pushing it down, but pulling it out. Don't push it down. Let it out. The Christian faith is predicated upon forgiveness. Learning to forgive because you've been forgiven is also the pathway to healing. Moreover, constantly being healed by the fact that there's only one perfect father, and that in his fatherhood fills in the gaps of the fatherhood we never had. The book, in a lot of ways, is me. So it's a couple things. One, it's me for sure, like feeling a burden, something that I wish that I could sit down with every one of my fans and talk to them about one-on-one, that my book is that. It's the conversation that I wish that I could have with every single fan that I have. In addition to that, anybody on the fence about Christianity and those who are far from God, my book is filled with the stuff that I wish that I could talk to you about. And that's probably why I actually enjoyed making the book more than I enjoyed making the album, is because I didn't have to rhyme anything in the book. I just got to sit down and talk, my favorite thing to do. So the content of that conversation was around having really a prophetic voice in a country that's gone astray. I'll not say gone astray. I'll say that in a country with deep needs, a church that in some ways has gone astray. I wanted to have a prophetic voice in that space to call people back, to make space for revival, to challenge, that which is keeping us from fully displaying the character of Christ. So that's what my music aims to do in sound. The book is doing that very, very, that very same thing, but in the context of, writing, or literature. But they both have the same aim, and they're feeding each other. Like the courage and the sound themes that you will hear in my album came from it's like the long, I'll put it like this. My book is the long form version of all of my music. Mm-hmm. So my music is the short form, and then my book is the long form. So they are both connected. And that's partly why every chapter has a lyric from a song of mine at the top, because this is the depth that I wished that I could have with everyone. I'm getting to do it in the book. Yes. At that time, I was very tired. Very, very tired. My capacity was bursting at the seams, and I was like, this is not sustainable. It might be time to hang up the clubs, bro. And I think that what I learned through good spiritual leadership and good therapy as well is that I needed better rhythms in my life, which by God's grace I've seen come into fruition. And because of that, I now feel a lot more bandwidth that I did not have at that time that I recorded that song.